This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next-level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next-level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Again, everybody, initial reaction with JP Kadoran and JR Radcliffe.
Put my name first?
I did. That for the first time in initial reaction history, I just said your name first.
You are not the most selfish man that I know.
Oh, good. I've been downgraded to number two. Thanks for that. I'm really excited. JP Kadoran.
What's up, dog?
Not much, man. It's been a while. Well, actually, no. It's just been, 10 days? That's not a while.
If that.
Yeah. So it's good to see you again. We got some things we could chat about. You are headed off to spring training, is that right, to Arizona in like a day?
A matter of hours.
Really? Mm-hmm. Like as in tonight?
No. Oh, okay. As in a matter of hours. It's no longer a matter of days.
Oh, got it.
It's a matter of hours.
Okay. So you're going to go off to Arizona, leave this horrible cold world behind and watch some Brewers baseball. I wanted to touch on that a little bit because there we could chat about what you expect coming into 2015, the 2015 baseball season.
But then what happened?
Oh, well, then something blew up. Kind of a fun story that we had here on Wednesday afternoon here kind of first came out Tuesday night where a colleague of mine, Evan Frank, who covers education for Lake Country Publications, gave a little look-see at the Arrowhead locker rooms, the new basketball locker rooms at Arrowhead High School.
To which then I texted you and said, is this real?
To which I said, I don't think so. But of course it was, and my own news organization knew better than I. So, yeah, they finished a project that's almost two-thirds of $1 million. Half of it was donated by a private donor, and the pictures have been circulating all over the place because they're really, really nice. They're insane. You went to Arrowhead. What is wrong with you people? You guys and your extravagances.
Apparently nothing. But I did see one funny tweet today that was a picture of the new basketball locker rooms, and then a picture of the press box at Taraska Stadium.
Uh-huh, yes.
And then a picture of the Mullet Center. And
that's a nice little campus you got
it's
there.
It's not bad. The comment was, you know, when your high school facilities are nicer than some colleges. And it's not entirely false.
Yeah, it is.
At some point.
And they've already talked about renovations to the football stadium. Now, there's to me one question about this a little bit. They're taking a little bit of heat on social media for not, quote unquote, putting that money toward other things. But when money is earmarked for a certain thing by a donor, you're not really able to do that. You can't put it in a general fund. You can't really put it toward other things. You're going to put it toward what the person wants it to be toward, because that's how you get your hands on the money in the first place. And I was sort of thinking about this today. Arrowhead is so seemingly above and beyond when it comes to facilities. Does there come a point where you just kind of say, you know what, we're good here. We don't want to put such an emphasis on athletics that it really makes us look bad? I actually don't know if there is a point. I don't think there needs to be. But what do you think about
that?
Well,
yeah, I think to start off with, because some people might not know the details. So I want to start off by like getting the facts out there, because I think, first of all, there are some people that will see that picture and say, oh, you don't want to spend it on books?
Right.
You don't want to spend it on teachers?
Right.
So I want to get facts out there. So first off, and we can just kind of go back and forth on this. We don't have a sheet in front of us. But like you said, so the price tag was about $670,000.
Yeah, roughly.
Right?
A little south of that, yeah.
And about half of it was from a donation,
mm-hmm.
an anonymous donation.
Right.
And the other half was picked up by the school.
Yes.
Some of which was already, and I read this in your article on LakeCountryNow.com, was their reserve fund that they have.
Yes.
So, first of all, the money didn't come from anywhere else. And then I also thought that that's a huge amount and way more than I thought it would be. But then it turns out, again, as I read, that a lot of, it sounds like a huge chunk of it was to move heating and ventilation and basically to move rooms around.
Right.
So I think that's important to note, first of all, that it's not like, I don't know, obviously I'm kind of defending it. I don't know if that's because I went there or because...
Oh, it is. You are biased. Up, you're a biased journalist.
You're defending it too. You don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, but you're the biased one.
Shut up. Anyway, because then I looked at the pictures and there's, I think, 6 photos online. And while it's extremely impressive, it's not like there are flat screen TVs in every nook and cranny with a home theater room and private hot tubs and whatever. Basically, it's a really, really good paint slash like iron-on vinyl job. Individual lockers, which is nice and sure. expensive. Other than that, it's just whiteboards and nice paint. I mean, am I completely wrong in assessing it that
way? You're not. And I do want to come back to
my... And a very nice lighting system in the middle of the locker room that makes
very professional looking.
Yeah, that makes it look unbelievably professional.
Yeah, a nice carpet or whatever. But you're right, and I kind of want to revisit my initial question at some point. But I do think Arrowhead gets the perception of being where all the money is in all of the greater Milwaukee area. So you do occasionally at Arrowhead have donors who step forward with a lot of money who are willing to put money towards athletics projects. And yeah, you look at their gymnasium. This isn't a top flight field house or anything.
No, not at all.
I know people probably would be surprised by that when they come into Arrowhead. The gymnasium is not up to snuff when you're looking at other area schools like Kettle Moraine, for example, Oconomowoc, Waukesha West. They all have the massive field house and the facilities that reflect that. So indoor facilities at Arrowhead are not necessarily what you might expect having looked at the football field with its artificial turf and massive press box. So at some point, that facility will get upgraded, and at some point in the near future, and the locker rooms are going to be part of that. So mm-hmm. this is not something that wasn't going to happen eventually. Eventually, they had to get better locker rooms, and they'll eventually have to get a better gym floor, or gym building, I should say. And the fact that it looks nice is because it has to. And it was designed well. Right. It was designed well. I've done a story before called The Renovation Revolution, looking at what all schools are doing to sort of pimp their athletic facilities, because in the age of open enrollment, you have to attract kids. And I give Arrowhead a lot of credit for recognizing that and really staying ahead of the curve with stuff like this. They know that at some point, all high schools are going to have fancy artificial turf football field. We've seen the proliferation of it. It's happening. I mean, pretty much all of Waukesha County is covered in artificial turf at this point. Then they know that video boards are going to become a thing. They know that, in this case, big, nice locker rooms are going to become a thing. You need to attract kids now, even middle school kids to your school systems, because in open enrollment, you can go wherever you want. And Arrowhead has really been proactive. Yes, they have the money to do it. They've got people who want to step forward and say, look, here's a bunch of money. Go ahead and make this a better product. And that's lucky for them. But back to my initial question of, do you ever really find yourself coming to a point where you have to say no because it just doesn't look right? Honestly, maybe there is that point, but we're nowhere near it. You have to stay ahead of the curve with stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what that is. I mean, I think that it might exist, so I think you're kind of right, but I can't think of what it is. If somebody wants to donate a new entire baseball stadium, and say, let's say it's Tim O'Driscoll,
right,
that he, you know, after making his millions scoring Brewers games,
yes,
that he wants to come back and build an actual stadium, because their baseball stadium isn't that great either.
Right.
Their baseball park.
Totally agree.
Is
and it's named
really
for Tim
nothing.
O'Driscoll.
Yeah, so. It's really nothing. So if he wants to come back and build a multi-million-dollar baseball stadium, well, of course Arrow is going to say yes. If somebody wants to come back and build a huge new theater, I would think that Arrowhead would say yes to that. If somebody wants to build a whole new science wing, you know, I have to think they would say yes to that. If somebody wants to build an ice rink on campus, I don't know, something crazy like that.
Which may or may not have happened. And that was a much bigger deal than certainly this is. But remember, I don't know if you were there for
huge.
Some of that.
Yeah.
But when the Mullet Center went up, everyone was complaining about how that's money spent on the wrong things.
It's a huge deal.
But it was a benefactor. I mean, Don Mullet came in and said, I want this to be here. And he did it. So
and instead of kids getting up at 4:30 to drive to State Fair Park, like the Arrowhead hockey team did back in the early 90s, then we, and I say we because I played on hockey teams, we got to practice at 2:45 every day.
Not bad.
So, if it's a private donation, I'm sorry, it gets to go wherever it wants. Now, we also kind of skipped over it. That also, like we said, included a $366,000 price tag from the school. I'm surprised that not many people have brought that up.
Right.
But like I said, some of it was to move, from my understanding, some of it was used to move the heating and ventilation system, some of it was used to reconfigure rooms, and some of it was from their special reserve fund that they have anyway. So I don't think And we would have to check on this. I don't think that any of this was being taken from teacher salaries or from textbooks or anything. Do they even have textbooks anymore?
I don't know. Do they need one? I have a tablet. So. I don't even like reading regular books anymore. I just look at a tablet. Yeah. I can't. I have the physical books and I won't read them because they're too heavy. I can't turn the pages.
For your weak little fingers?
For my weak little fingers. Yeah, I'm totally a product of my generation.
That makes sense.
And I do think that when, and not to completely defend it, because I do sort of understand where people are coming from when they see stuff like this and they think, why are we spending so much money on locker rooms when there are other pressing needs? But when you take a look at the process and how it has to be, and I just think when you're the early adopter with stuff like this, you're seen as you're not seen as necessarily looking ahead. You're seen as somebody who's spending extravagantly. But I really think that in 10 years, every school is going to have locker rooms that look like this.
Yeah.
Just as every school has artificial turf now, whereas 10 years ago, Arrowhead was ahead of the curve on that. I'm sure people were upset that they were spending money on artificial football turf, even given the benefits of it, thinking that it was an extravagance and an unnecessary expenditure. But
yeah. And the Mullet Center is full every night from 3 until 11 o'clock at night.
Yep.
So that was... That was more, I mean, it was a good high school need because not many other high schools have built ice rinks.
Right, but it has a community tie.
But it was a huge community need. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you look around the Lake Country area where we cover, Arrowhead is not necessarily on the front line of all this stuff. You've got Hamilton High School with the new sort of Don Hutson Center-like facility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Athletics facility.
On top of their video boards that they already have.
Right. And Oconomowoc has a state-of-the-art video board on their soccer field as well as their football field, which is all brand new stuff. The Kettle Moraine Fieldhouse is as nice as anything you have around here, combined with their football stadium. I mean, the KM facilities are now top-notch. Pewaukee has artificial field turf, and they really needed it on kind of a landlocked footprint.
And what about Pewaukee's gym and weight room area?
Yep,
didn't
Pewaukee,
they just add on to
exactly.
That?
The Maguanago High School just added a big new weight room. So
Waukesha West Fieldhouse has been around for a while, and that's been pretty nice.
All of the Waukesha schools are going to have artificial turf now as of last year. So, yeah, it's universal. And like I said in my article, the renovation revolution, everybody has to do it because they need to attract kids, especially out in Lake Country where it's a little more competitive.
Just shameless plug after shameless plug.
All of this can be found on lakecountrynow.com.
Awful.
Yes.
Just awful.
I take care of my own, JP.
So it's an interesting topic, but I think that that one picture looks so good.
I know.
That it's hard to realize, like, okay, maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Right. And it's hard to get context, too, of the picture. I mean, it's not like this locker room is the size of the Brewers clubhouse or anything. You know, it's still a locker room. And I don't want to minimize it because it's pretty sweet. It's really sweet.
If somebody comes to my house and says, I'm going to donate a hot tub in your backyard, yes, you might have to pay for some new plumbing, but I'm going to give you a brand new hot tub, I'm probably going to take it.
This does happen, too, on the academic side. I know my wife is in a school system where they have somebody earmark some money.
Sorry, academic, what?
Yeah, where they look at books and numbers. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So they put some money towards a care dog program where dogs are brought in to help with students who are stressed or struggling or whatever. And on the surface, that sounds ridiculous, but... A, there's a little bit of science or a little bit of anecdotal evidence anyway to back up that this works. But B, again, when money is put towards something, you don't just say no just because it doesn't look like a pressing need. You've got to go with what, you know, in this day and age, if there's money, you have to take it and use it for what you can. So I don't fault Arrowhead certainly at all. And in the long run, I think they're going to be just par for the course.
Is there going to be a column from JR coming about this?
About the no,
not that big of a deal.
I can't really get that fired up about it. I mean, it's cool. Maybe to talk about what we just said, that you can't really judge them too hard because they just happen to be on the front line with something like this.
I gotcha.
So the boys' basketball brackets were released a little while ago,
and who won?
The tournament? Who's going?
Yeah,
to
is it over yet?
No. Dominican won. Dominican won in Division 4. Division 1 will be.
I don't know.
Germantown's going to state, but
Racine St. Catharines.
I know.
Are they number one? No, I think they're number three, and they have three losses on the year to Division 1 teams and to Dominican. Am I right? And they just beat Dominican
on a last second buzzer beater.
So I'm just saying.
I do think it's, if nothing else, we know that Dominican is now human and they can be beaten. They were beaten by a very good team out of Mississippi. I don't know what you take from that, but seeing St. Cat's win at St. Cat's, and if they play again, it'd be at a neutral site, and I'm sure Dominican would still be favored. But wouldn't it be interesting if after all this assumed rampage that Dominican was going to go on once they got to D4, if they ran into what I think has to be the only stumbling block in their way, Racine St. Cat's, who you talked about them on a previous podcast, how they kind of get forgotten because of how good Dominican is, but they're really, 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 really good.
I agree.
Elsewhere in the brackets, Germantown still looks like a team that's going to get to state out of Division One. I just don't know if a team's going to be able to stand in their way. DePere is one possibility with Brevin Pritzel from Wisconsin. But and Mark Stewart kind of wrote this column in the Journal Sentinel a couple days ago. There are a lot of the usual suspects in boys basketball. There aren't too many teams that are going to surprise you. Muskego in the Madison area sectional might be one team that sneaks through this year. I shouldn't say sneaks through. They only have one loss. But those are, there aren't going to be too many storylines, I don't think, coming out of this tournament, unless there are some upsets, which will be fun.
And now, Brown Deer on an 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, they look really good again. Yep. And, they will be competing to get back in Division III. Division II is kind of wide open in our area. I've got a pretty good feeling about Pewaukee, one of the top seeds out there, but this is the sectional that frequently features either Wisconsin Lutheran tearing up people.
Oh, sure.
Milwaukee Pius is in there. Wauwatosa East is in there. Whitefish Bay, Milwaukee, Washington. A lot of very competitive teams. Very curious to see how that one plays out.
I'm curious to see how you play out.
I don't even know what that means. You're just throwing things out there that don't make any sense.
Uh-huh. Okay. And it works.
Yeah, it does. The Brewers are what I wanted to talk about at the outset, and you are headed to Arizona. What are you going to be doing in Arizona? Just like hanging out or what?
It's a very odd schedule. The clubhouse opens.
I hear it's a nice new locker room.
You know what? It's probably not as nice as it was. It's probably not. But that's why the Brewers want to move, is because Maryvale is a gigantic piece of trash.
Can we clear one thing up? And you can help me with this.
Ready,
Maryvale is not a city, correct? It's a neighborhood.
Correct. It is Maryvale Baseball Park. If you looked at Maryvale, Arizona, you will find nothing.
Because it's in Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Maryvale, when so many people in our business say Maryvale, Arizona, when they're talking about spring training, and it drives me nuts. It's like Maryvale is not a city.
Yeah.
I get what they're saying, and I understand. Everyone knows what they're saying. But
yeah. No, that's interesting. To be honest, I've never really thought about it at all.
It's not important.
I've called it Maryvale because it's a whole – I mean –
it's kind of
what
its
would
own
you compare it to? Like Wrigleyville?
I think that's a really good comparison, actually. If you said they're playing down in Wrigleyville, everyone would understand what that means.
Where do you live? Wrigleyville. Where are you going out tonight? Wrigleyville.
Sure, yeah. But again, that's not a city. It's just a neighborhood.
Well,
yeah, okay, so
Maryvale is a dump. Both the area that it surrounds, both the park and the area that surrounds it.
Right.
So, the Arrowhead locker rooms probably are nicer than the Brewers clubhouse. But the schedule. The Brewers clubhouse opens at like 7 in the morning.
Why?
And I'm also staying.
Wait, who, are the players there at 7 in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Especially the young guys. Like, I didn't go last year, but like 2 years ago, like Taylor Green was already there at 6:30 in the morning when we got there.
Man, how do you play baseball at 7 in the morning? I'm still like trying to.
Well, these guys aren't exactly athletes for the most part, all right?
Okay.
I said this on a different, on a radio show that I really enjoy spring training and opening day because it reminds me that I'm actually not in that bad of shape.
Right.
Yeah, they're compared to some of these professional baseball players, I look pretty good.
Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but
I think that's exactly what you're doing. Yeah. I do not look pretty good and do not compare to anyone who plays
like
sports.
A baseball player.
I look like a bowler, but in any event,
like the guys like Ryan Braun and Carlos Gomez are outliers.
Right.
In the fact that they're actually like.
But you're saying most guys are soft, squishy puds who can occasionally hit a ball out of a ballpark.
It does open at 7 a.m., and that's when there's basically two opportunities for – you can get interviews whenever the clubhouse is open. So from 7 to about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and then they work out from about 9 to 11 or 9 to 12. Then you can do interviews from 12 to 2 o'clock. So I go there, so I land Thursday night, so Friday morning from 6:30 until 1:30, I'll be at Maryvale, Arizona's baseball park.
You're trolling me.
I know. And then I'll do the same on Saturday, do the same on Sunday, and then I leave on Sunday night, and I get land Sunday night. So there will be 6 opportunities for interviews.
So I'm super happy to have your itinerary, but I want to know what specifically.
Well, you said, what are you going to be
doing? Yeah, I guess, like, who are you talking to? Are you, like, looking for specific stories? You just want to try to get, you know, basic video and audio of all 400 baseball players in camp? I mean, what is your goal?
Well, no, I mean, Let's see. I mean, there could be some good minor league stories out there of guys that might be playing with the Timber Rattlers or playing now in Biloxi and Colorado Springs.
Yeah,
did
buddy.
I say that right?
What do you mean? Did you say that right?
Well, because they're not in Nashville and Huntsville anymore.
Well, sure. Do you have trouble? You think Biloxi is a difficult word?
No. Is Biloxi where they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, technically, they're still in Huntsville until they can get the Biloxi field all taken
stadium.
Care of. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah, they're going to be playing as Biloxi in Huntsville just for a short
How
time.
How far away is Biloxi from Huntsville?
I don't know, but I don't think it's close.
Well, if you were going to be dropping knowledge on me and
correcting me,
is Biloxi hard to say?
Well, come on. It's not. It's super famous. It's in all the John Grisham books. I'm sorry. I forgot you don't read.
I do read. I do read John Grisham books.
Oh, well, there you go. Do you read the real ones?
It was probably like 10 years
Yeah,
ago.
See, and same for me. That's when I actually read real books and not the ebook kind. Yeah. But now I can't do any of that without the ebook.
Yeah. So, anyway, there could be some good minor league stories. That's not on our radar right now, I think. Going and coming back with a feature on Adam Lind and coming back with a feature on Gene Segura and coming back with a feature on Jimmy Nelson is probably the goal.
Got
so
it.
So probably maybe six or seven of those is the ultimate goal. If I come back with five, that's still acceptable. So and it depends. Baseball is the weirdest sport where they don't make their athletes talk to media at all. You literally just go, like, you wait in the clubhouse and then see who's around. And then you have to go up and ask them if they want to come outside and talk to you.
Yeah.
Which, guess what? No, they don't, because it's 7 in the morning, and they were out till 3 o'clock partying in Scottsdale.
Right. And I can imagine it's a little bit early, and everybody kind of has the same answers to all the same questions. So
hope springs eternal.
That's right. That's right. So, when I look at the Brewers, I've said this on the roundtable on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel, I don't think they're going to have a good year. I just have a hard time maintaining optimism for all the various things that could go wrong. I think pretty much none of them can go wrong for this team to have a good year, and surely one or two of them will. So I guess if you had a fearless prediction or two to make for this team this year, what would you be looking at?
81-81, and
that's not fearless. That's by definition.
Either third or fourth in the NL Central.
That's all you got, huh?
That's all I got. I think as fearless as I get.
I think they'll be south of 81. If I had to say one thing that the Jonathan LaCroix injury, dude, really worries me because
just call me dude?
I did call you dude.
Okay.
I've called you dude before,
that's
haven't
fine.
I?
Yeah, it's just weird.
You're weirding me out with this.
Carry on, yeah. Jonathan LaCroix.
Jonathan LaCroix is a guy who all catchers this happens to. The attrition happens early. So even though he's not yet 30 years old, he's going to decline rapidly, and I'm worried that's going to happen. And now they're trying to sort of allay that a little bit by having him play some first base, but the injury is going to shorten his time where he can train there. I just think the expectations are really high for him right now. There's no way in my mind that he matches them. I felt the same way about Frank Kaminsky before the season, for what it's worth, so I'm not necessarily
a home
run hitter. All
right, so LaCroix for MVP, then.
I just think there's a lot, right? He's got to be a big contributor. I don't know what we're expecting with Braun. That's a total, total toss-up. I just, with their pitching depth and how healthy they were last year, I kind of feel like law of averages will say, well, maybe the pitching won't be as healthy this year. I'm really, really worried that this is going to be a bummer of a 2015.
Well, I think that it can be, and actually the end of last season – I felt very comfortable saying that the Brewers would be fifth in the NL Central this year, just because when you looked at their games, their series against the Cubs were the better team at the end of the year.
Definitely.
You know? So I think that I don't think the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but I think that's hilarious that it's either one or the other. Either Cubs aren't there yet, or they're going to win the World Series. There's no, like, the Cubs could contend for a wild card berth and be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I like how
that's not how Chicago fandom works.
No. So anyway, I think that, so guess what? I think the Cubs could contend and be a wild card team. I think the Cardinals would be a great team again. I think that the Reds were really, really injured this year. They didn't make really any major steps to get better.
I think they got worse. They subtracted from their really good pitching staff.
Yeah, so the Reds are a question mark. They are the team that I think might be in fifth. I think I might put the Cubs probably third and the Brewers fourth in the grand scheme of things. But then again, you haven't heard about the Pirates either. But when it comes to me with the Brewers, I think, regressed in nearly every position last year, except for maybe starting pitching. But you look at left field, center field, right field. Everybody played worse than they should.
I don't know about Gomez in center field.
But
he played about
He was an all-star, but then he trailed off significantly.
Okay.
They all did. I mean, everybody did.
Sure.
So when you look at their year-long numbers, you look at Ramirez, hurt, hasn't played as well as he should. Segura had a terrible year. Jeanette, we saw mixed in with Weeks. I think he's bound to be a lot better just because now he's going to actually get at-bats regularly and not have to worry about his playing time. And then Mark Reynolds and Lyle Overbay were terrible. I mean, yes. They were the worst first base combo in the National League.
True.
So I feel like legitimately everybody should take one step up. So I feel like they can be better. But with the Pirates and the Cardinals, I just don't think they're better as good than they're better.
I don't think Aramis is going to take a step forward. I think you're going to get what you get with him. And I think Scooter will struggle against left-handers. I'm optimistic on that front. I thought Gene Segura played pretty well at the end of the year last year, and I think he's probably just an average good defensive shortstop, and just he'll never be more than an average hitter. So I wonder if there is room to grow in those categories. Left field, I agree with you. I don't know if that's going to get any better. And, you know, center.
Which, much more impressed with Chris Davis than I ever thought. Like, he was not a well-heralded prospect. He was a guy that, yes, set a home run record in Appleton with the Timber Rattlers, but a lot of people can do that and then do nothing with their career. So, right. that's as high as his praise went, was that in low A ball, he set a home run record. But other than that, it was never, oh, I can't wait till this guy gets to the majors.
Right.
And so last year, I think that he actually did a lot better than I thought he would, because I thought that at the end of 2013, that was just a flash, nothing to be worried
about.
Teams
would figure him out.
Yes, 100%. And really, they didn't, so I give him a little credit.
Yeah, and I think you struck on something that's really frustrated me about the Brewers lately. Now, they're given they're considered to have one of the worst farm systems and have for the last few years, having gutted it to get some other players in, which I thought was several great moves for the most part. Mm-hmm. The thing is, maybe their farm system is building back up a little bit, but they don't have any impact guys. I mean, I remember when Prince Fielder came up. He played against the Rays. His first game as a DH. I mean, how excited we were to see him. Even when Corey Hart came up, Ricky Weeks. I mean, these were like impact guys. And even if their careers didn't go just how you thought they would, that was the level of talent they were producing.
Jimmy Nelson would be similar.
And he's close. So, close. I personally think he was the best of what's around, and I think he's actually overachieved a little bit, which is nice. But like you look at their farm system now, Tyrone Taylor, Orlando Arcia, nice players. I mean, the Williams kid who was pitching with the Timber Rattlers last year. I mean, nice players. Nobody is going to be what the Cardinals are producing like every year. They've got somebody new. It was Shelby Miller, and then it was Michael Wacha.
But you're not hearing anybody saying, I can't wait till Taylor Youngman gets up.
That's what I'm saying.
List in my head, and like Jimmy Nelson is the only thing I can think about.
Yeah.
Because it was, when is Jimmy Nelson here? When is Jimmy Nelson here? When is Jimmy Nelson here? I think if he was a position player, you might have had that same exact feeling of Fielder, Weeks, et cetera, of he can be in the lineup every day.
Yeah.
He can be our big guy to go to, but he's different since he's a starting pitcher. He's only in there every 5 days.
You might be right.
I'm always right.
The thing is, the Cardinals have five of those guys. Yeah. I mean, Carlos Martinez might be there. Even make the rotation.
Well, why don't you go marry him?
I don't
care what they're doing.
Yeah, the Cardinals rotation, folks, is really, really good. They're going to need a couple injuries for the Brewers to catch them, I have to say.
Oh, well. Well, we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how it plays out.
Like a journalist there.
Hope springs eternal.
But I think we'll wrap this one up a little early. I have sick kid. So
Lucas, you have a sick kid?
Lucas started daycare 2.5 weeks ago.
Now he has disease.
Time for his first doctor's appointment. You have to get your kids. This is our life now.
Yeah.
But I will give our podcast friends something to remember us by.
Oh, what's that?
Always remember this day, Wednesday, February 25th, 2015, Packers released AJ Hawk.
That's true. That's brand new news.
That is the one saving grace from today. If nothing else goes well, if my kid keeps me up all night.
Packers release AJ
Hawk. So think about it. Brandon Bostic, Brad Jones, and AJ Hawk.
I feel like they did this little by little to like keep people interested. Like rather than release them all at once.
Oh, no.
It was kind of just.
Can you imagine how ridiculous
that would have been? Amazing. But they want to keep people hanging on.
Brandon Bostic, Brad Jones, and AJ Hawk.
It's like the postseason awards for baseball, how like there's one new one a day.
Yeah.
That's what the Packers are doing. In 3 days, Jared Bush is going to be out the window, and then it's just going to be maybe a couple other guys after that.
Seriously, can you imagine if one day those three were released, the next day the internet would just be silent? There'd be nothing to
complain about in Packers Nation.
Nothing.
What would you say?
I think if you guys are sitting at home, got a nice bottle of wine open, a nice fire roaring in the fireplace, you turn on that TV, you should turn on Sports Weekly because there is a story about a fencing team at Lawrence University, and it is awesome.
Very exciting. Maybe you are cuddled up with your laptop while you're watching Time Warner Cable Sports Channel.
Ooh, go on.
That sounds like a great night to me, personally. And you navigate over
to the kids to bed.
Navigate over to LakeCountryNow.com. Now we're into some dangerous territory with the computer. But over there you'll find the debut column from Travis Wilson of WisSports.net. His column, State of Play, is going to be appearing every other week on the site, give us some big picture cool perspective. And also plenty of coverage. State wrestling is this weekend. We'll be doing tons with that.
Can't go, please.
JP won't be there.
Are you going for me?
Of course I'm going for you. I mean, I'm not going to do your work, but I'm going to hang out.
Great.
Love state wrestling.
I'm going to miss it so much.
Yeah.
Please enjoy
it. It's probably the highlight of the year. There are probably two or three things that are at that level.
When I wish I wasn't going to spring training, you know that something is legit.
You're right. You're absolutely right, especially with the weather the way it is here. So so check out all that stuff, and we'll be back. We'll be back eventually. You'll come home with... I think, from Arizona.
My brother went to Arizona, and he's lived there for, I think, 12 years now. So,
maybe you just move in with him. Forget this child-rearing stuff. I'm out of here.
All right, friends. We will talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a pleasant week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.